From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, November 29, 2016. I'm Philip Graham. Diane Valden is reporting in the Columbia paper that the Ancombe Town Board voted last week not to decrease the town's annual support for the role of Jansen Community Library as previously planned. The board made the decision last month to reduce the town's contribution from $7,500 this year to $5,000 next year. The library is chartered to serve the towns of Hillsdale, Copec, and Ancombe. While voters in Ancombe have twice rejected a library funding referendum, Copec now pays $55,000 annually, and Hillsdale contributes $42,500 a year to support the library. A contingent of the library supporters appeared at the November 17th town board meeting and voiced their displeasure over the board's decision to reduce the town's library contribution next year. More than one of the speakers expressed embarrassment and shame over the town's repeated failure to support its library. One resident asked the board to reconsider keeping the annual library contribution at $7,500. She said the $2,500 difference would amount to $1.61 per person. Another resident said, and I quote, "The town spends many thousands of dollars on trucks. How can we not spend a couple of thousands on a library?" End quote. Town board member Christopher Thomas, who opposed and eventually voted against the $7,500 library contribution, said he received complaints from residents last year when library support was raised to that amount. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. The Daily Freeman is reporting that on Monday, November the 28th, a Greene County woman pleaded guilty to charges that she stole approximately $3.1 million from Cargill Incorporated. Diane Backus, 50, of Athens, worked as an accounting manager at the company's Port of Albany facility and was responsible for creating customer contracts, generating and mailing invoices, and receiving and processing customer payments. Cargill receives, stores, and sells grain products. Backus pled guilty in federal court to mail fraud and filing a false income tax return, admitting that she stole customer payments sent to the company totaling approximately $3.12 million and deposited the money into her personal bank accounts. She also admitted to sending fraudulent invoices to Cargill customers and directing them to send payments directly to her. As part of her plea agreement, Backus agreed to pay Cargill at least $3.5 million in restitution and to forfeit her Athens home, an investment brokerage account, and her company pension benefits. She faces up to 20 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000. Backus is scheduled to be sentenced on March the 28th. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Casey Seeler is reporting at Capital Confidential that on Monday, November the 28th, a member of the State Assembly sent a letter to U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch requesting an audit of the 2016 election. Ithaca Democrat Barbara Lipton said the audit she is calling for would involve checking voting machines, looking at the practice of voter purging, and an examination of the 0.5% of paper ballots. Lipton wrote, and I quote, "Our elections are being called into question by national figures. President-elect Donald Trump continues to say, as of Monday, that millions of Americans have voted fraudulently. And people on the left, particularly Jill Stein of the Green Party, have called for a recount in three states due to her concerns about possible hacking and disenfranchisement, as I understand the Green Party's request. Now a recount will happen in one and perhaps other states. But I am greatly concerned that this limited recount will not restore the trust that is required in a strong democracy," end quote. Lipton also expressed concerns about some states using lists drawn up by the Interstate Voter Registration Cross-Check Program. That program has been used in more than 20 states to assess the validity of voter rolls using techniques that have been criticized as discriminatory and technologically suspect. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential, Times Union blog. Filmmaker and former WGXE programmer Margot Pelletier, 65, of Catskill and New York City, died on Sunday, November the 27th, following a battle with cancer. Pelletier was most recently the director of Thirsty, a film about revered drag queen Thurdy Burlington. Along with Lisa M. Thomas, in 2009, she was the co-producer and director of the award-winning feature documentary Freeing Sylvia Bartolini. Before becoming a filmmaker, Pelletier was a fine artist for 20 years. Her work is included in the collections of the Library of Congress and the Elizabeth Foundation. She was a graduate of Cooper Union and Bard College. From 2011 to 2014, Pelletier and Thomas, her wife and co-founder of Thin Edge Films, produced a radio show called The Score on WGXE. Pelletier was one of eight recipients of Wave Farm's 2016 Media Arts Assistance Fund for artists for her work on Thirsty. Writing about Pelletier on Facebook Monday, friend Judy Jackson said, and I quote, "Margot will live on, not only in the films she made with her wife and producing partner Lisa M. Thomas, but in the memories of all those who knew, loved, and admired her," end quote. Melanie Lekachevic is reporting in the Daily Mail that students at Coxsackie Elementary School and E.J. Arthur Elementary School in Athens are participating again in an annual recycling contest hosted by Trex. Trey is a company that uses recycled materials to build decking and outdoor furniture. Each year, the company holds the contest to collect plastic wrapping. Once weighed and collected, the wrapping is used in the manufacture of Trex products. Teacher Lucille Mazzillo, who is also the programming coordinator at the Athens School, said, and I quote, "We are promoting recycling and we have a couple of collection boxes for various recyclable items. We are working with the Athens Garden Club and asking friends and neighbors to bring their items," end quote. Students are collecting plastic grocery bags, dry cleaning covers, bread bags, bubble wrap, cereal bags, food wrappers, and other plastic wrappings. All items must be clean, dry, and free of food residue. Mazzillo said, and I quote, "We want to promote protecting the environment. We do it as a community service, volunteering to recycle and help the environment," end quote. This is the third year the schools have participated in the contest. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. William J. Kimball is reporting in the Daily Freeman that the Ulster Town Board is considering passage of a new zombie building law. The law would provide a way for the town to deal with zombie properties that banks fail to maintain after a homeowner has defaulted on their mortgage. The board plans to review the type of code revisions needed to keep abandoned properties from falling into disrepair. Supervisor James Quigley said, and I quote, "There are instances where we've had properties that have not been maintained, and the town board has authorized the town highway department to cut the grass and clean up the outside. We take the cost of those services and then add them to the tax bill," end quote. Town attorney Jason Kovac said a state law that goes into effect December the 20th gives towns a little more power to compel banks to fix vacant properties. Kovac said, and I quote, "It looks like a good law, and we'll see if we can use it," end quote. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting in the Register Star that on Sunday, November the 27th, Columbia County firemen and police officers gathered in Hudson to honor Richard Lindmark, dispatcher for the County Emergency Center. Lindmark officially retired after 33 years of service at 11:27 a.m. on Sunday. During his career in law enforcement, Lindmark served as a dispatcher, police officer for the Chatham Police Department, and worked for the county sheriff's office. On Sunday, fire trucks gathered at Greenport's Pumper Company No. 1 building, then paraded down Milo Street to the Columbia County 911 Center and waited for Lindmark to leave the building. Lindmark exited to a round of applause, and a procession began with fire trucks from East Chatham to Hillsdale, passing through the parking lot. The trucks were joined by the State Police, Hudson Police, the Columbia County Sheriff's Office, and the Greenport Rescue Squad. Lindmark said the whole thing was a surprise. He thought the fire trucks were just casually passing by. Lindmark said, and I quote, "I was absolutely blown away. I didn't know this was coming. I love these guys," end quote. Fred Miller, Assistant Chief of Columbia County Car 5, said he has known Lindmark since they both worked for the Chatham Police Department. He praised Lindmark's calm nature, which he found was important for firefighters going out on calls. Miller said, and I quote, "He's just a terrific guy. No matter what the situation was, he was always cool, calm, and collected, end quote. You can read that full story in the Register Star. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting rain today with the temperature high near 50 degrees. For Tuesday night, a chance of showers, mainly before 9 p.m. There will be patchy fog, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 41. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, rain with thunderstorms also possible after 3 p.m. The temperature high on Wednesday will be 51 degrees. Wednesday night, rain and possibly a thunderstorm before 1 a.m. Then, rain is likely between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. and a chance of showers after 4 a.m. with a low around 44. And on Thursday, a chance of showers before 7 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 52 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 35. The sun rose this morning at 7.03 a.m., and the sun will set at 4.24 p.m. That will give us 9 hours and 20 minutes of daylight, about a minute less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 29th day of November 2016. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.